This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Let the Spirit lead. Oftentimes, when we have things to deal with in life, many of us would exhaust logic. We'll go with logic until we have no other option. We would lead with every other thing. And then when we realize that there is no other way or place to turn, we will then turn to God. This has been the default mindset of many believers for many years. And of course, a lot of people will have preached about it and talked about it. But it is difficult to change a set mindset. When somebody has been programmed to behave in a certain way, the first thing about yourself is that you look at yourself and say, okay, I'm a God. I'm capable of solving this problem by myself. And then when you can't, then you then appeal to a higher authority, which is God, or you appeal to other people so that all the gods around can put their heads together trying to solve a problem. And when that fails, then we turn to God. But that would be like standing spirituality on his head, because the order of creation itself, of all things, was spirit first before the material reality. If you look at the book of Genesis, you realize that man was made first as a spirit before he was given a body. The other, therefore, is that you allow the spirit, you use the spirit to discern the solution to a problem in the flesh. You use the spirit to discern the solution to a problem in the flesh. If you would deliberately and consciously refocus how you tackle issues, and you start with God and not with the problem itself or with senses or with logic, and you start with God and you say to God, oh, Father, this particular challenge, what do I do about it? And then the Lord will tell you, okay, do this. Now, what he will tell you to do could be logical, because logic is also under the direct oversee or branch or reality of God. God is the father of logic. He's also the father of spirits. He's also the father of the metaphysical. He's the father of science. He's the father of philosophy. He's the father of thought and imagination. So no matter what he now allocates the solution of that problem to, you are sure that you are going to get an answer or a response from there. And that would shorten the time you will have spent or wasted trying to solve the problem by yourself, or the time you will have wasted, which could then make it almost too late or sometimes even too late to remedy the situation that you are trying to salvage. So it is important to allow the Spirit lead. Earlier this morning, the Lord spoke to me. I was around 2 a.m. I was preparing in my spirit for this class. And then the Lord said to me, check out the book of Isaiah 44, verses 1 to 5. And I've read the Bible several times, but every time the Lord would highlight the scripture, it would be because the Lord wanted to bring the scripture into my consciousness, to bring it, to give it life. So apart from the logos of it, I will not come into the realm of it. I'll come into an understanding of it. It will be in my heart for some time, and my heart will begin to discern what the scripture meant, what it is saying, and why it is saying it. And this is the word of the Lord. for you and for your family and for just the BMI in this season. That's when I read it, my spirit began to rejoice. He said, but now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, who will help you? Do not be afraid, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. So I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in the meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Some will say, they will not be forced to say it. They will say of themselves, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. And as I began to consider that scripture, the Lord said to me, that starting this year, as I am leading, my spirit is leading. Every word I've spoken unto you before the beginning of this year and even now, you will see them materialize. You see, you will see them come alive in a few months, in a few weeks. But you would remember this day that it is the spirit that came first. It is not your wisdom. It is not your knowledge. It is not your understanding. It is not because you're wise. And this is not general to everybody. God was speaking to me. I had to sit up on my bed. I began to wonder, why did the Lord take this stone with me? You know, why did he take this stone? Is there something? Is there a way I've been processing reality or carrying myself that made it seem as if I was putting logic or senses or self ahead of the spirit? I had to rethink because of the tone. So, because I'm a student of languages and I understand tone and what a tone could mean in communication. So I know when the Lord is instructing, and I know when somebody is telling you, this is why I'm blessing you. I'm blessing you. This is not a question. I'm blessing you. When I have blessed you, you would remember this time now. Remember that I'm the one blessing you now. The blessing may seem intangible to you now. It may seem as if I'm just talking now, like my words. I'm talking to you now. You are hearing my words. You cannot see. You cannot hold it. You cannot see it. It has not materialized yet. But when it materializes, remember now. JSW, remember now that it is me, it is my word, it is my spirit that has told you that I will water your land, that I will cause my spirit to spread, to fall upon your descendants and your offspring, that by themselves they will be saying, ah, we want to serve your God. Oh, we want to bear your name. Oh, we will wear your t-shirts. Oh, we will carry you on our head. Oh, we will do this. It is not you. It is me. It is my spirit. And as I began to think about that, inevitably, I came to different scenarios came into my heart. And these are true life experiences. I just felt so that I bring myself to the understanding of what the Lord is saying. I had to remind myself of those two experiences. The first of them was a sister of mine who got pregnant. She was happily married and she was pregnant, but she didn't even know yet that she was pregnant. Then she had a neighbor in her house, and this neighbor knew she was pregnant, while the owner of the pregnancy does not yet know she was pregnant. So this neighbor called my sister and said to her, I have a gift for you, and gave her 6 yards of blue material. Said, oh, just sew it somewhere. It's a gift I brought for you from Dubai. And then my sister got this cloth from this woman. And the pregnancy inside of her disappeared. Now, some of you are from the international, all over the world, may think, what? Yeah, well, you life is spiritual. And so the pregnancy began to have issues. They wouldn't see the baby today. They will see the baby tomorrow. Baby was not growing. And I remember clearly that when the matter came to me and they brought the matter to my attention, my mom, she wasn't in Nigeria at the time, my mom was the one that, consciously by the spirit that consciously was like, what is happening? What is wrong with my daughter? Why is this? Why is that? And I remember going to my sister's house. And I remember when I got there that the Lord expressly made me see that it was that cloth. Now, how would you in logic, describe a piece of clothing with a problematic pregnancy? You wouldn't, but that was the problem. Why? Because the spirit led, even though not in a positive light now, but it was by one evil spirit that woman was able to discern that this woman was pregnant, and then she used the material medium to control and to take over the space where the baby was supposed to be. Anyway, the Lord did a miracle. The baby was evacuated because the baby didn't try. It was on and off and wasn't growing. But by the grace of God, a year later, my sister developed a set of twins. But I never forgot that lesson about the spirituality of life. I never forgot that lesson about the spirituality of life. The second story, and this is from the scripture. I was reading the account of Josephus. Josephus was an historian who was documenting about the Jews in the days of Jesus Christ and after the days of Jesus Christ. And Josephus wrote about Herod. And he said, Herod had a meeting with all the other traditional rulers. And at the meeting, because it was a state function and it was like the highest ranking traditional ruler in Israel at the time, he had to come out looking glorious at the meeting. So when all the other kings were there, Herod came out of his chambers and they had sewn for him this elaborate, beautiful garment. He wore it, he was looking, it was shining, it was bright. It was a perfect work of tailoring. And as he stood before the council, all of them stood up and they said, and they couldn't resist hailing him. Like all of them were like, Herod, oh my God, you look so good. Gorgeous, beautiful. And Josephus said, by the time Herod would sit on his throne, he had struck. And that they rushed him back into his chambers to get his physician and everything, and Herod died. You can see the story in the book of Acts. But how the Bible told the story was different. The Bible said that Herod was having a meeting with the kings that are around him. And that the people were hailing Herod. And because Herod did not give glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him. And then he fell sick and died. Look at the two stories. You look at it from the physical perspective. Any doctor will tell you, oh, maybe he had heart palpitation, he didn't take care of his head, he had high blood pressure, he had this, he had that, and that because of that he fell sick, and then he died. That was logic. But the Bible told us that it wasn't logic, that his death was as a result of his irreverence and the usurping of the role of God in the place of God, and that the angel of the Lord struck him. So when you look at the two stories, you realize that logic can have an explanation. Spirituality also has an explanation. Where am I going? In this year, as the Lord would show you and carry you and lift you and seed your lands and water your lands and bless you on every side, don't be like Jeshurun. Don't suddenly be like that rich fool that said, my barns are full, the harvest is plenteous, I will now sit down, I will eat, I will drink, because I have made all this happen by myself. Do not make that mistake. So there is a spirituality behind your blessing. What did I say? Say it outright. What is behind your blessing? There is a spirituality behind your blessing. The words of blessings came first before the material reality of blessing. It was the word from the Lord that preceded all the blessings you are going to count and count and count and count and count in the year 2025. Now, if the Lord brought you a contract and the contract became money, it wasn't the contract that blessed you. It was the word of the Lord. If you did IVF and you had a set of triplets, it wasn't the IVF, it was the Lord. I told you earlier that you can, everything is under God's purview. If you tell God, I want to solve this problem, God will say, okay, go to Benga. It doesn't mean that Benga is the one that solved the problem. It means the Lord said, go to this person. It is, the examples are replete in scriptures where David will have a problem. Go to God. God, what should I do? God will say, send the men of this tribe. Let them go first. That is God. There are 12 tribes. God could have sent an angel. But God will say, no, send the men of Judah. Let them go first. Oh, no, today, let the tribe of Asher, let them lead. Oh, tomorrow, okay, let them get harp and tambourine and lyre and let them just sing. Now, because they will consult God first, they would stress less. Why? Because no matter what God then tells them to do, it might be that God will say pray, which is God wanted to use the metaphysical. It might be that God will say take a word, walk around Jericho 7 times and then shout, which means angels will be involved. It might be that, get a fig of lentils. This is in scripture when the Bible said that Isaiah went to meet King Hezekiah and he told Hezekiah that, oh, you are going to die. And Hezekiah said that, God, please don't let me die. And then God said, okay, I give you 50 more years. And then Isaiah came back and said, God said, you are not dying again. The words came first. Then the Bible said, Isaiah then prepared a fig of lentils. Can you notice that he said the words, you will not die, which is the spirituality that came first. And then the material healing, he prepared like medicine or pepper soup, that a fig of lentils, or like a concussion. And then he said, drink this. And the man was made whole. Now, you cannot ascribe that healing to the fig of lentils. You cannot ascribe that healing or the blessing to other things. You must remember the source code of the blessing came from the spiritual understanding and discernment of the moment. And that is where I'm going. So you have to understand that this year, there's a spirituality behind your movement, behind your blessing, behind the consciousness of grace that is with you. You will notice that I'm not saying, God will bless you. If you pay attention to my tone, I am not praying. this is not the year, the kind of year that I say, ah, hey, God, you turned your this to no. This year, it is a done deal. I'm saying it from January now, so you can know it is a done deal that you are blessed. Every time the Lord has spoken to me since October last year about this year, God has spoken to me of increase and increase and increase and increase. He has spoken to me of enlightenment, of fulfillment. He has spoken to me of laughter and joy and the assembly of the saints expressing jubilee. In fact, one of the things he said to me, I almost made the mistake of pronouncing this year the year of jubilee. Why? Because the Lord said to me, there shall be jubilations, triumphant dances and rejoicing all over. So I had almost wanted to say this year will be the year of jubilee, but the Lord said no, the year of jubilee is still coming, because there is still more joy to come that are greater than this year in the coming days. But do not forget that there is a spirituality behind all the progress you are going to see. For those who have suffered any form of loss before now, get ready, prepare the space for double and triple and quadruple. Why? Because for every trouble, there is a divine compensation. In this year, there is enlightenment on every side. But the spirituality of it is key, which is why I'm going to say to you, do not let the words of blessings depart from your mouth. The scriptures I shared with you earlier, Isaiah chapter 44, I think verses 1 to 5, I think you should let it be one of those scriptures that you would speak forth consistently this year. I know that I spoke last week about the particular psalm, I believe it's Psalm 19. And that psalm is a psalm where inspiration and knowledge will be drawn from the word. But this is a word of assurance for this year. He said that it would cause waters, rivers, dews, the rain to fall on your fields. He said they would pour out his spirit upon your offsprings and the generation to come after them. He said of their own accord, when they look at the blessing, they will say, after, I just want to be like my daddy. I mean it. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about you. You know, there's no greater compliment that a child can pay a father than the child will look at the father's life and say, if I just want to be like my daddy. I just want to serve my daddy's God. I want to know God the way my daddy knows the Lord. I want to have the kind of result my father has. I want to walk in the same footstep as my father. I want to achieve the same things that my father achieved with God. If you can get your children to say that without being coerced, that they come to that realization by themselves and they begin to confess that, you have done very well. It means indeed that your God is a provable God. And that you have proven God to your generation. You have proven God to your children. You have proven God to those who are around you. It is better. I have always been of the opinion that I rather prove God to people than tell people about God. I rather let them have the proof, irrefutable proof, that they may also pursue this God and produce that same result in their own lives, rather than me telling them or instructing them or forcing them or indoctrinating them into the knowledge of God. And one of the infallible proofs of God is how he would elevate a nobody only by his own divine power and make a nobody somebody and make a nobody relevant and bring a person that has no standing, make the person somebody that has not only locus, outstanding, but also relevant. And this is the place you have come into this year. In this year, not only will your walk with God be proven among those who are close to you, who are supposed to be, what did they say in the scriptures, that the people that are from your own household are full of disbelief because of the proximity, because they know. No. It's when the blessing and the reality of God is real, I kid you not, members of your household will believe. Members of my own household believe. And they had every right not to, because of who I was, but they believed. And it is because of God, not because of me. They had no option but to look at it, look at the evidence and say, indeed, there is a God in heaven. If there is no God, this guy couldn't be where he is. And that is proving the reality of God. And that is this kind of year that you have come into. Year 2025, the proof of God will be infallible in your destiny, in your life, in your businesses, in your homes. The proof of God will be tangible. It will not be a struggle. Your testimony, either it is coming from your mouth or coming out of the mouth of other people, will stir the heart of men towards God. This is a year of great blessings. But do not forget that there is a spirituality behind all the blessings that are unfolding going forward. Do not forget that you have to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. You have to ascribe unto him the glory due his name. You have to let people know that this is not me. I'm not a genius. I'm not, it is not luck. It is not blind faith. It is not being at the right place at the right time. It is not a coincidence. My path in life is pre-ordered and pre-programmed for success. And the reason for that is because I've come to know the Lord and I've come to allow his spirit to lead me from success to success. This is the kind of year where the proof of God will be evident and tangible enough that those who didn't believe around you, they will come to you and they will say, tell us about God. That's what the scripture says, Isaiah 44. They will say, I want to know God. Bragminga, do you have 5 minutes? Can you tell me your secret? What are you doing right? This is that kind of year that many people will come knocking on your door saying, I want to know your God. I want to serve your God. I want you to deposit in me what to have. Where they will need that, they will say, just lay hand on me and bless me. This is that kind of year. And I declare that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that which you have heard and that which the Lord has done, you would hold it with your two hands. It will be evident and tangible in your life. And here is my final word for some of us. Don't live your life the way you lived it last year. Last year, you sat at home, your mother was feeding you, you are complaining, need Jeff, need this. Don't do that this year. If you sit at home this year, you will miss it. If you do not step out and begin to do so, if you don't get out of that comfort zone and begin to put your hand, lay your hand and be determined to make something of your life, there is no softer year. I know years to come will be softer than this, but this 2025 is going to be the beginning of the softest of years for many. But a man that is lazy, that is sitting at home, will not partake of it. I mean this. I'm begging. It is the one thing that you will do that will not be right. To sit back and relax and say, there's nothing, I've tried my best. No, this is not a year of trying. This is the year you step out and things will just work out. It is a guarantee from the Lord. Step out, things will work out. The lines are falling onto you in pleasant places. You have a goodly heritage. Your inheritance is secure. Your place is secure this year. Nobody can take it. Nobody can contest with you, right? Your lot in him is secure. This is the kind of year where all you have to do is take out your sickle and harvest. For the Lord has brought his planting. It is the kind of year where you will eat where you didn't sow. It is the kind of year where the blessings will rain from heaven like manna, and you would eat and your heart will be merry. Thank you, Father, for your children. I've heard your word, and it is faithful and true in their spirits. So in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gs.com.